Well, thanks for joining Local 3's podcast, Breaking Ground, where we discuss all things labor, labor history, politics, and organizing as it relates to Operating Engineers Local 3, which is the largest construction trades local in North America. And today we have on the show with us Stockton District 30 business agent Michelle Gianelli. Michelle, thank you for joining us today. You were initiated into the apprenticeship program in 1999. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
What helped you make the decision to become an operating engineer? Because it's not, especially in the late 90s, it's not something that most women thought, you know, that they would do for a career.
So I didn't really think of it as a career choice. I thought I wanted to do what my dad did because he would take me to work with him. And so I'm second generation operating engineer. And then I thought, wow, you can play in the dirt and get paid good money. So that's really just all I really wanted to do.
So what were you doing before you got into the apprenticeship program?
So even as much as he took me to work with him, he told me I should probably go to college and maybe do something different. He didn't tell me why. He just said it's probably not, you know, the right choice. He wanted me to, you know, go to college and do something that he didn't do. And so, which is fine. You know, and so I washed dogs, I groomed dogs. I did that for years. And then when I was getting close to being 18 years old, he came over to my house and he was like, hey, I've been seeing a lot of women at work. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And he's like, well, maybe, you know, maybe we can get you in. Maybe the company will sponsor you through the union, you know, the apprenticeship. And I was like, okay.
You know, and that's what you wanted.
That's what I wanted. And that's what he knew. But I had let it go because he's like, no, you can't. That's, you know, he never said I couldn't do it because I was a girl. He just said I couldn't. He didn't want me to do it.
It's a hard life. Now, you have other brothers and sisters, but they didn't have the same interest as you.
No, I have two. Yeah, I have two older brothers and a sister. And when my brothers were younger, he got them both in. But then they all ended up doing something different. You know, so, and I was a lot younger than everybody else. So we were kind of raised separate for whatever, right? So there was a gap. And then, so when he told me that, I was like, okay, that's great. You know, let me know and I'll stop doing this job. And, you know, and so, and I didn't really know the process and neither did he.
Of getting sponsored?
Just getting sponsored, how it worked, or, you know, we didn't know. And so, he just went to work and he's like, hey, can you get my kid in? And he did that for a while, and they're like, okay, bring your kid to work. And he just forgot to tell him I was a girl.
So what happened? The first day you showed up, what was that like?
They were like, huh, okay. And I didn't go to office. I didn't go to the union. I went straight to work.
And this was in like 1996?
It was in 96.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just started going to work with them. And then, you know, the foreman was nice, but then the superintendent came out, and he goes, hey, your dad didn't tell me you were a girl. And, you know, we sponsored a girl once before. And I was like, so?
Yeah.
And then he was like, well, we never wanted to do it again.
really had to prove.
So he's like, hey, but you're already here. He's like, if you want, you know, you can check grade for your dad. And, you know, and I didn't really know how the unions worked. So if the operators came out, they just told everybody I was a laborer. Mm-hmm. If the laborers came out, they told everybody I was an operator.
So they weren't doing
nobody was checking.
They weren't doing it right.
So it was a long time ago, you know. Yeah. And then, you know, when people came onto the job, they're not going to go talk to the girl. So no one's going to ask me. So I just went to work. We were working in Brentwood. The trench was like 40 feet deep. And I was checking grade for my dad. He was digging.
Wow.
And so I just did it. And because I knew one day I would hopefully be in the seat. So, yeah. So it took that long. It took late 98. They put me into the apprenticeship. Yeah.
And so then I was initiated. Years. Okay.
Yeah. So I got a little time.
You got 3 years.
I made $11 an hour for 3 years.
Jeez.
But at the time that was good.
Yeah. I mean, in 90.
But I didn't get benefits.
For all that time.
For all that time. Well, thank goodness I was on my dad's insurance.
Yeah. Because of his union.
Because of his union. So yeah, I didn't get benefits, but I didn't get my retirement, but I didn't know either. And my dad didn't really know. We didn't know how it worked. But so along the way, I've kind of learned how it worked.
Yeah.
So, but it's, I think it was worth it because I've seen people come in and get straight on the equipment and don't know what the guys on the ground are doing.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what they were doing and I knew how hard they had to work. So I wanted to be a better operator because of it.
Well, you have kind of led your life in making, you know, good choices and sort of learning everything you could as far as you could get and then moving forward.
Right.
So you get into the apprenticeship program, and what was going through the apprenticeship program like?
It was, I mean,
you'd already been in the field.
I had already been in the field. Yeah. I just knew I had to go to school every once in a while. I knew I had to go to the union meetings, and I knew I had to turn a time card in every month, which I didn't have to do before. So, I mean, I just did it because I knew one day it would be worth it. You know, down the line, you know, I'm one of my only, like within my group of friends, I can retire when I'm 55.
Which is awesome.
Most people can't.
No.
Because our retirement, Social Security retirement age is getting further and further away. So it's nice to know that you have that.
So you journeyed out then, you graduated the apprenticeship program in, was it 2003?
Yeah.
As a construction equipment operator. Mm-hmm. And then you went straight into the field. You'd already been in the field.
I had already been in the field. Yeah. When you're an apprentice, it's all field time for the most part anyways. Yeah. So I stayed with that same company that sponsored me.
And what was the company?
Mountain Cascade.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's a good group of guys to work with. I learned a lot. It was like having 200 big brothers.
And they were good to you.
They were.
What were some of the challenges?
There's always going to be challenges, and it wasn't always with the crew that I was with.
It was with maybe the other crafts that
right.
showed up.
So a lot of jobs, there's a lot of other crafts.
Yeah.
There's truck drivers, there's, you know, different crafts, and they would say things, you know, but those guys stood up for me.
That's
they knew
cool.
I was there to work, and that's the only reason I showed up early every day and I came to work. I could pass a drug test, which is something that people don't understand. No, the guys I worked with knew I was there to do a job.
And that's because you had proven yourself to
right.
them. Okay.
And I'm not saying I didn't have to do it every time I went to a new crew. I did. But it was worth it. They're like, okay, she's here. She can do the work. And then there was no issues.
So you're in the field. And what were some of the most memorable jobs that you remember working on?
Oh, gosh. I mean, they all kind of blend in. I was at the company I worked for did the underground. Mm-hmm. So somebody else did the dirt work. We would come in and we would do the water, the sewer and the storm drain. And then we would leave. And then, you know, so it was a lot of time with the same group of guys. I mean, there was always, it's just going by later and seeing all the houses
yeah.
and then being like, you know why they can flush their toilet?
I did that. That's pretty cool. Like, you laid
we
the
did
trench
that.
For that. Yeah.
Right. You know why the storm drain runs that way? Because we put the pipes in there. And
it
so
was
it's hard
River
to
Islands.
Visualize.
River Islands was one of the jobs.
River Islands
on.
Was one of the ones that I was close to home.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you were mentioning that, like, when the work dried up, then you were like, oh, geez, now I got to drive to the Bay Area.
Right.
And that's when you made the decision to think about.
Yes.
Joining staff for the training center. Explain that a little bit.
So for me, like I said, no matter where I was, I would see business agents every once in a while. But again, you're over there on that piece of equipment. They don't always come and talk to you or anything. But when I was out in River Islands, an agent from Stockton, he would come out and he would talk to me. And, you know, I would call him if there was a labor on equipment. And then he would come out and check them. But no, he mentioned it to me. He's like, have you ever thought about being on staff? You know, we always are looking for, you know, candidates who, you know, we think could do the job. And I was like, nope, never thought about it. And then a week later, my boss said, we got to go to San Jose. And I'm all, I just thought about it. Let me go online. Where'd he tell me to go? And I opened up my computer.
A brutal drive.
It is a brutal drive. And I did it for almost, you know, I did it for 18 years. And so,
you
know, I mean, I have a son and I don't remember what he looks like, but no.
Well, yeah.
No.
Well, it's hard. It's hard on the family.
It is. It is. But, you know, it's definitely worth it. Yeah. So then, you know, I applied to be an instructor at the training center, you know, and I'm like, it's different, but you're still kind of in the field. You're just teaching somebody else what to do. That, you know, you've done it all that time. Why not, you know, help someone else?
But not everybody can teach.
No,
so did
I
you
suppose.
Feel like you, that was a good skill set that you had. Like you were able to, you know.
Mean, you're just taking a group of kids and yelling at them.
All right. Yeah, you probably, helped them in a way, given that you had been through that experience yourself.
Right.
And there were probably some female apprentices that you helped as well.
For sure.
Talk a little bit about that.
For sure. Right out the gate, you know, they want to come and ask me questions that they don't want to ask the other instructors or even a business agent. They don't, because they don't feel comfortable or they don't know, because they have a man as an operating engineer goes through it differently than a woman.
Sure.
No matter what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even a good experience, it's going to be different. So just different questions that the females might have, they tend to come towards me, and which is fine, but that made me think, well, maybe, you know, this is,
I'm in the right place.
Yeah, I'm in the right place. And then I can, you know, people can ask me questions or, you know, and it's, and they need to see a female on the equipment. They need to see someone who can do the work. And then
it's possible.
Yeah. You know, and there's a lot more coming through the program than ever before, probably a lot more. It's a different generation.
Well, yeah. I mean, wouldn't you agree that it's different than when you came through?
For sure. For sure. I was, there was only one. Two out of like 100 people at the training center.
Yeah.
And now like you could have probably 6 or 8 in a group of 60.
Yeah.
You know, so you might have one female in every class,
yeah,
which is cool. You know, and so they need to see other people doing it as well.
So you did that for how long? Were you an instructor there?
4.5 years.
And then what made you decide to switch to joining the Stockton staff?
So just the fact, like, coming in from the field to staff, I didn't realize how much I didn't know. How much I didn't know about the union itself.
Yeah.
And I really thought that if I saw the dispatch spot open in Stockton, and again, it's closer to my house.
It makes perfect sense.
So maybe a little for me, you know, it's closer to my house, but I wanted to learn more. I didn't know how I got dispatched. I didn't know how other people got dispatched. I didn't know you had to have tenure. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know there was job placement regulations.
It's a whole universe.
It's a whole different, you know, we have a constitution, we have bylaws, we have, you know, we have a master agreement.
It's legit.
Yes. And then below that master agreement, we got about 50 other agreements.
Lots of complicated agreements, and yes, they all come under a different, like, they have to be renegotiated.
Yes.
So you wanted to just learn more.
Yes. Yes.
And then it
helps me understand.
Helps you understand the backside of
right.
the union.
Now,
yeah. Explain to our audience who may not know, what does a dispatcher do?
So we have full-time dispatchers, which not all unions do. Sometimes, you know, they don't have the need for it. But every hall has a dispatcher. And when you want somebody, when you need skilled labor, you got to call the hall. And then that dispatcher has to find you the right person. So every district has their own. And then you call the district that you're working in.
You just have lists of people who are not working.
Yes.
We
have lists of people that aren't working.
And you call them based on their qualifications.
Right. Yeah. And we have, I mean, at the training centers where you go to get your minimum qualifications, and that those are put into our system. Even as an instructor giving the test, I didn't know what we did with them.
Now you know.
Now I know they're in the system and you get to see them.
You see the grades.
Yeah. You don't get to see the grades. You just get to see if they passed or not.
Okay. Okay.
So they have to have their qualifications, and then you can send them out to the job sites.
So you dispatched for how many years?
About 4.5 years.
And then the business agent position opened up?
And I thought, wow, look, after 4.5 years with my crew, you know, my District 30 crew, I realized how much the guys went out and did for the membership. And so I thought that, you know, I could do it. And so I applied, and here we are.
Well, and I've said this, I think in like my 15-year history, there's only been maybe 2 other female business agents. So, I mean, that says a lot. What are some of the challenges that you find, you know, when you go out into on a job site and you introduce yourself, like, I'm your business agent? How is that received?
You know, for the most part so far, it's been fine. You know, I'm not nervous to go on a job site. I've done it my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, even when I was a little kid,
with your
the
dad.
Job sites, yeah, with my dad. And so, you know, and all the guys, I grew up in San Joaquin County.
And so they know you. A lot of people know
me. A lot of people know me. I either dispatched them or I was their instructor, or, you know, but even at that, if I don't know you, I'm going to introduce myself. I'm going to give you my card. And if you need anything while you're working in the area, call me for questions. Cause that's one thing I didn't do in the field. I didn't call. That's why I didn't know anything, because I didn't call. I didn't reach out. I didn't ask questions. So people, they really need to ask.
They need to know that they have resources.
Right.
And you're there to help them.
Right. And there's resources for women. And, you know, men need resources too. So it's for everyone.
Yeah.
But if you don't call and ask us, there's so many rumors in the field, even about the way our pension works, the way our annuity is, the way our medical is. People have all kinds of questions. Then they'd rather just talk about it with the guys at work, but they don't always know either. So if they reach out to us, we're reading it right out of the book.
And that's so helpful.
Right.
So you're trying to be approachable and you're knowledgeable. And you're there to really just kind of clear the air and clear up confusion.
Right, right. And then also, I mean, our main goal is to protect our work.
Yes.
So, yeah. So when you go and tell someone they can't run the piece of equipment because they're a laborer, you know, you might get a little pushback. But we all have to follow the rules.
Do you think that being a female has actually helped you in some degree?
In some degree, because they don't have any idea who I am. They don't expect me to be a female business agent.
So you can go out there and the laborer is not going to like jump off real quick because they don't.
Nope.
Yeah. So you and catch them in the act.
Right. I can take pictures of the whole job site before anybody asks why I'm there. They just assume I'm OSHA or I'm an inspector because I know there are a lot of females maybe on the inspector side of things. But, you know, so it's not a big deal, I don't think. But they're usually surprised when I hand them my card.
Yeah, they're like, whoops.
Oops. Did you just take pictures? Oh, shoot. Busted.
Well, good.
But, you know, after a couple times, then I can't hide anymore.
Well, they're going to figure out who you are.
Right.
What are some of the challenges?
This profession? I mean, there's always going to be challenges. And everybody says, you know, you have to have a thick skin. And I didn't even realize I had a thick skin, you know, like,
well,
I think I grew up like that.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up around construction and my dad. And so maybe I already had it.
Yeah.
But you definitely do. You can't take everything, you know, people say to heart, I guess.
Yeah.
Even from, you know, as an apprentice, you just have to, if there's a real issue, you need to say something. Mm-hmm. But if it's not an issue, you just need to do your work.
Okay.
So, if that makes sense.
You know, it does. What's some of the best parts of this job?
It's definitely rewarding, you know, like, especially like when people come into the hall, even as a dispatcher, people come in and they tell you what they can do and they want to join. And then you can give them options. There's these different trades, you know, within our own organization. You know, we have the apprenticeship, we have the survey, we have the testing inspection. We have all of those things to offer everybody.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, I give them a card or I give them, we have little printouts of the information for the training center on how to apply. And I hand them to them and I said, it'll change your life. And then later when they call you and they're in and it's
that's
changed
awesome.
Their life, that's, it's, yeah. it's pretty nice. Yeah.
Cause especially, you are literally changing their lives.
Right. Cause, but they don't know.
Yeah.
They see, especially as a dispatcher, they see you in the office. They don't think that you were ever out in the field.
Yeah.
So when you have to explain to them, no, I did this, I was out there and it can work and you could be here one day.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what hopefully that some of their goals will be, because I don't think that a lot of women apply to be on staff.
No, I mean, that's one of my questions. What is your advice for women? Well, first of all, who wonder if they have what it takes to even be an operating engineer? What's your advice for them?
Well, I mean, if you don't mind getting up early and working hard, it is a career for everyone, everyone that can do the work. And so it's hard work. It's a lot of hours, you know, but it's super rewarding. You know what I mean? And then, you know, you have benefits that most people don't have.
Yeah.
Benefits for my son until he's 26 years old. You know what I mean? Really good benefits. And so I don't see why anybody would not want to do it. So, I mean, dirt's not for everyone.
Yeah.
But we have cranes. Yeah. They don't get too
they
dirty.
They don't get too dirty. And then what about current female operating engineers who are trying to consider maybe getting on staff?
So as long as they're doing it for the right reason, because you're not getting on staff and getting out of the field. You're getting deeper into the field, getting behind the scenes of
the,
yeah. And because even 5 years ago, I had no idea exactly, you know what I mean? It's not like I had this goal and I knew what they did. I just, that just where my path led me.
Your curiosity.
Right. To want to know more. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm one of those, why?
Well, that has served you.
It served me. I ask a lot of questions and I want to know why we do things. Well, if you don't know the rules, then it's hard to explain. So, yeah. It's
now, do you miss being in the field? I mean, operating equipment? Do you miss that?
I do a little bit. Just because you get to a point where once you know what you're doing, you're kind of just, you're over there doing your thing.
Yeah.
It's not like,
kind of like Zen.
You're
just
not
kind of check out a little
100%
bit.
Working with someone else. You know what I mean? You all have a job to do, but you're over there on your piece of equipment, you know, and
doing your thing.
So no brainer.
And this is a lot more like, you know, personal communications and understanding complicated rules.
Right. Reading them again and again so you can explain it to someone else, you know, and then, you know, if they still can't figure it out, well, I can email it to you. You can read it.
You don't get to have that chill day where you're like, I'm just going to be doing my thing over here in the corner for 10 hours. Leave me alone.
As soon as I think that, then I get a phone call and I got to go. Or, you know, there's a lot. San Joaquin County is very busy.
Right now.
Very busy. Especially. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's it like now when you talk to your dad? I mean, he must be so proud of you.
When I first told him, he was like, what does a business agent do? Even now, because he didn't know.
Yeah.
And so I explained to him, he goes, good for you.
Well, he's got to be so proud.
Right.
I mean, you're the only one of the children that went that route.
Yeah.
And look at where it took you.
Right. Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. Yeah. I wish he was here.
I kind of do too.
Right.
What is his name?
Kenneth Cunningham.
Kenneth Cunningham.
Yeah. Okay. And he worked at Mountain Cascade until he retired.
And how long has he been retired?
Oh, shoot. He retired in like 2003.
Does he still live in the Stockton area too?
He lives in the same area. He lives in Copperopolis.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that where you are from?
No.
Okay.
No, I was raised in Lathrop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we part of Local 3 that we haven't really talked about is the politics of it. And we have a big election year in 2024. And I know that Stockton is very, very active in politics. And Local 3 as a whole takes politics very seriously, just in terms of protecting our pension and our benefits, and then also having access to our work. Do you have any thoughts on politics?
You know, I've always tried to not have thoughts on it.
Well, because it's divisive. It can be.
Right. And I would sit at the meetings and everybody would go up there and be like, I didn't want to ever have to talk about politics, but here I am talking about it.
Yeah.
So, of course, anybody that supports our work, you know, I'm going to support. You know, in the city of Stockton is under a PLA, Project Labor Agreement, for the whole city.
Which is huge for us.
It's very big for us. And it's big for the other locals, too, that we have to work with. You know what I mean? And so
can you explain what a Project Labor Agreement means? Because some people forget.
I mean, I can try.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
So in San Joaquin County, we have San Joaquin Building Trades. And so they kind of initiate all the pre-jobs. They make sure everybody is signed to a union. We do, too. We get the list, and if they're going to do our work, they need to sign with us if they're not already.
Okay.
A lot of times they're already signed.
Okay.
But it initially makes sure all the work is done union. So anything in the city of Stockton, for the most part, unless it's private, is going to be done union.
And that was because of politics.
Because of politics. Because we voted the correct people in that created this work for us.
So that's, you know, firsthand experience of how politics has helped your specific district.
Right.
And that's happening all the time.
Yeah. And then we're trying, you know, in Lathrop, and we're trying in Manteca, and we're getting some in Modesto. And so everywhere, you know, in the Stockton area, we're pushing it pretty hard. You know, they're really good. Dean's really good about, you know, he interviews people and he makes sure that
the candidates.
Yeah. And so I haven't started any of that stuff yet. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's coming.
But I mean, over the years, even we've traveled to help other districts, you know, other states.
Yes.
And so that's coming up.
Precinct walking
and all that stuff. And I hope that people ask questions.
Well, being somebody, you know, your background, you said you kind of went through the apprenticeship program without really recognizing or understanding what the union was. How can we get more involvement? You know, your journey is unique in that you kind of went through each step trying to get as much information as you could, and that's empowered you and that's led you to where you are today. But there's a lot of people in the field who have no interest in their union or don't like politics or don't like the union's politics. What's your advice for them on how they can learn more about the union and why it's important?
Well, I mean, it's the same thing, ask questions, but ask questions to people who know the answers. Because if you just talk amongst yourself, you don't really know why we want you to vote for that person.
Yeah.
You know, you do have to ask. And I know things go out in the mail and we call people, but, you know, they don't always answer. But if you want to know, you know, why we want you to vote for these certain people, ask us. Yeah, that's only, I mean, because that's my only thing. You know, I wish I would have asked questions young, you know, when I was younger, so I knew what was going on. But I just kind of went to work. And,
But you began asking the questions, and now you're a business agent for Stockton. Right. So, I mean, you didn't.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't necessarily have just advice for women.
It's for
everybody.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, a lot, you know, we all want this work. And because it's not just for me and you, it's for our families.
And those who come after us.
Right. And then, you know, even when I was an instructor, we would go to training and it would be different operating engineers together. And that's when I learned we are the biggest. And I would see pictures of other people's training centers. I'd be like, oh, is that a crane? And he's like, yeah, we just got it. And I was all, where's the other equipment? That's all we got.
Well, a lot of the other unions, their business agents stay in the field and do both.
Right.
You know, they don't have a separate job title. They're still, you know, I mean,
they're still working.
Yes.
They're volunteering in the office. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're this big for a reason.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we do fight for our work and we cover a large area.
Huge.
Huge.
14 districts, 4 states.
Yes.
I mean, just the geography alone, it's crazy.
Right.
So there's a lot of information to be had.
There is.
Based on where you live.
Right.
Where you're working.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you mentioned before, the best place to get that information is from your union staff.
It is. And if we don't know the answer right now, we'll call you back by the end of the day because we'll get it. But we don't want to, you know, there's so much bad information.
There is, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's just like small towns.
It is.
People talk.
People talk. And even as large as we are, people talk.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on just because of your kind of unique experience, and not simply because you're female, but because you're obviously very good at what you do, to have done all of these things and to have moved up, you know, quickly in your career. Do you have any parting thoughts for our audience, many of whom are probably operating engineers, but some people who may not be?
I mean, if you have any interest at all, there's a job here for you in one of our sectors, you know what I mean? Because we, like I said, we have a variety. But, you know, the more members we have, the larger we are, the stronger we are. And that's how the politics work too.
And it changed your life.
It did.
You were grooming dogs.
Yep.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nope.
But now you have a retirement, you know, and your son
I smell better.
Healthcare. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for being a good sport and being here. Nothing else that you want to add?
Not that I can think of.
All right. Appreciate you.
All right. Appreciate it. You.